Okay, let's dive into this. We're not just talking about watching a documentary, are we? We're looking at actually planning a really special trip.
Yep, a proper adventure.
Exactly, trekking with mountain gorillas in Uganda, Bwindi Impenetrable Forest.
That's the one. It's pretty unique.
It really is. I mean, a face-to-face encounter, right? With wild gorillas in their home.
And that's why planning is so key. It's not something you just, show up for.
Right. So that's what we're doing here. This deep dive is basically your guide. We want to help you make it safe, respectful, and totally unforgettable.
Absolutely. And Bwindi itself, it's worth understanding what it is. It's not just any forest.
No.
It's a UNESCO World Heritage Site. It's packed with life, but critically, like you said, the gorillas, over 400 mountain gorillas.
Wow. And that's like what, roughly half the entire world population still left?
Pretty much, yeah. Around that. So visiting, it's engaging with something incredibly precious and fragile, really.
Yeah, that puts it in perspective. This isn't like going to a zoo or something.
Not at all. It's
Yeah.
fundamentally different. Your decision to go to trek there,
Right.
it actually helps protect them.
How so?
The permit fees, the tourism jobs,
Yeah.
it all feeds back into conservation efforts and supports the local communities who live right alongside the gorillas.
So it's like responsible tourism in action. You're kind of becoming part of that conservation effort just by going.
Precisely, you are. And Brindy's importance, it goes beyond just the gorillas too.
Okay.
It's a biodiversity hotspot, loads of other plants, animals,
Right.
insects, many also endangered. So your visit helps protect that whole ecosystem.
So the money from the trek, it has a direct impact.
Definitely. It funds anti-poaching patrols, habitat protection.
Yeah.
It's a real investment.
Okay, so the why is pretty compelling. Seeing these animals contributing.
Yeah.
But when's the best time to actually go?
Generally, the dry seasons are your best bet for easier conditions.
Right.
That's usually June through to September, and then again December to February.
And why dry season? Just better weather.
Well, yeah, the trails tend to be drier, less muddy, so, a bit less slipping and sliding.
Makes sense.
And clearer skies, usually, which is great if you're keen on photography.
Okay, sounds ideal. But life happens. What if you can only travel during the rainy season? Is it a complete write-off?
Oh, absolutely not. Trekking still happens. The rainy seasons are typically March to May and October to November.
Okay.
You just need to be prepared for mud. Definitely muddier trails
Yeah.
can be more challenging, maybe a bit more of an adventure factor.
Huh. Okay. Adventure factor. I like that.
But the forest is incredibly green and lush then. Some people actually prefer it for photos.
Yeah.
And the gorillas, they're still there. The encounter is just as amazing, rain or shine.
Good to know. Okay, so you've picked your season. Now, the big one, the permits, the actual permission to go.
Right. And this is where you really need to plan ahead, like way ahead.
Why is that high demand?
Very high demand, yes. And numbers are strictly limited each day. They manage it carefully to minimize disturbance to the gorilla families.
Okay, so these permits, they're not easy to get.
They can be tough, especially for peak season dates. And they're an investment. Right now, around US$700 per person.
700. Wow. Okay, that's significant. So you definitely want to make sure you're getting a legitimate permit.
Absolutely crucial. You have to book them either directly through the Uganda Wildlife Authority, the UWA, or through an officially recognized licensed tour operator.
Like TTTA booking, for example.
Exactly. Using proper channels like that ensures your permit is real and the money actually goes where it's supposed to, conservation for the UWA. Watch out for deals that seem, suspiciously cheap.
Good tip. And that leads to the next thing, choosing a tour operator. There must be loads of companies offering treks. How do you pick a good one?
Yeah, that's a really important choice, especially if you care about traveling responsibly. Look for operators with a strong reputation, obviously, but also check their commitment to being eco-friendly. And definitely prioritize those who use experienced local guides.
Why local guides specifically?
Their knowledge is just invaluable. First, safety. They know the forest inside out, but also they understand the gorillas, the wildlife, the plants.
Yeah.
They bring the whole thing to life.
Yeah, I guess it's their home turf. They'd have that deeper connection.
Exactly. They can read the signs, track the gorillas effectively, and crucially, make sure everyone stays safe and respectful around the animals. Operators like TTTA often mention this commitment to local guides and community support right on their websites, which is a good sign.
Okay, great. Permit sorted, good operator chosen. Now, practical stuff, packing. What absolutely has to go in the bag?
Right. Essentials. Think sturdy and weatherproof. Number one, good hiking boots. Really good ones with excellent grip. Non-negotiable.
Because of the mud and slopes.
Precisely. Uneven ground can be slippery. Then a reliable rain jacket and other waterproof gear, maybe trousers too. Rain can come anytime in a rainforest.
True. What else?
Insect repellent is a must. A camera, definitely, but maybe one with a decent zoom lens.
Ah, so you don't have to get too close.
Exactly. Respect the distance. And a small backpack, comfortable enough to carry for a few hours, for your water, maybe some snacks, a hat.
Okay. And clothes? Anything specific?
Yeah. It's best to wear long sleeves and long trousers. Protects you from scratches, nettles, insects.
Practical. Any colors to avoid?
Neutral colors are best. Khaki, green, brown. Helps you blend in. Avoid really bright colors, maybe blues and blacks too, as it can attract insects sometimes.
Got it. Now, the physical side, you mentioned tough terrain. This isn't just a walk in the park, is it?
Definitely not. Ah. It could be quite strenuous. You're hiking, often uphill, sometimes through thick vegetation, on uneven paths. Altitude is a factor too.
So preparation is needed?
Highly recommended, yes. Yeah. Some cardio fitness work in the weeks before you go is a good idea. If you can do some practice hikes on hills or uneven ground, even better.
Get the legs ready.
Get the legs and lungs ready, yeah.
What about health stuff? Vaccinations?
Yes, definitely talk to your doctor or a travel clinic well in advance. There are recommended vaccinations for Uganda. Yellow fever is usually mandatory. You often need proof.
Okay, good to know. Anything else? Altitude sickness?
It's possible, yeah. Windy isn't super high, but if you're sensitive, again, discuss it with your doctor. They might suggest medication. And simple things. Stay hydrated on the trek. Drink plenty of water.
Makes sense. So you arrive near Bwindi. How long should you ideally plan to stay in the area? Just pop in for the trek and leave.
You could, but our sources suggest giving it a bit more time is better. Maybe plan for at least 3 days in the Bwindi region.
Why 3 days?
It gives you some buffer time, just in case. And it lets you maybe do a second trek if you want to see a different gorilla family. Or explore other things.
Like what?
Bwindi is amazing for bird watching. Or you could do a community walk. Visit a local village. Learn about Batwa culture, perhaps. Really soak it in.
Nice. Makes it more of a rounded trip. Okay, the big day finally arrives. Trekking morning. What happens?
It's an early start. You'll meet at the park headquarters for a briefing. This is really important.
What do they cover?
The guides go over all the safety rules, the do's and don'ts for when you're near the gorillas, how to behave. They'll also assign you to a small group and a specific gorilla family.
And you need your documents.
Yes, absolutely vital. Bring your permit and your passport or ID for verification.
And then you head off. How long does the actual trek take?
It varies a lot. Depends entirely on where the gorilla family decided to hang out that day.
Mm-hmm.
Could be just a couple of hours, could be 4 hours, maybe even longer. And the terrain makes a difference too.
So patience is required.
Patience and a bit of stamina. It's all part of the experience.
Okay, so you're trekking, you're getting closer. What are the absolute golden rules when you finally find them?
Number one.
Mm-hmm.
Quiet. Move slowly. Keep your voice low. No sudden movements.
Don't want to startle them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Maintain the distance your guide tells you. Usually about 7 meters, sometimes more. And positively no flash photography.
Yeah.
The flash can really frighten them.
Right. Camera flash off. Got it.
And stick with your group. Always follow your guide's instructions. They know the gorillas. They know the signs. Their job is to keep both you and the gorillas safe.
It all sounds very focused on respect for the animals, which is good. How else can visitors, you know, actively help with conservation while they're there?
There are simple things, like don't leave any rubbish behind. Pack it in, pack it out.
Standard hiking etiquette.
Pretty much. Use a refillable water bottle instead of buying plastic ones. Stay on the marked paths to avoid trampling vegetation. And think about where you stay. Choosing eco-lodges helps minimize your footprint.
Good points. And you mentioned the community aspect earlier.
Yeah, that's really important too. Supporting the local people is key to making conservation sustainable.
How can you do that?
If you buy souvenirs, try to buy genuinely local crafts. Maybe participate in a cultural tour or a community walk, if offered respectfully. Many good tour operators, like TTTA again, have partnerships where tourism money directly benefits local villages.
So it creates a win-win. Gorillas are protected and local people benefit.
That's the ideal, yeah. It gives the community a direct stake in protecting the forest and the gorillas.
Okay, so we've covered a lot, from planning way ahead to behavior on the trek itself. As we wrap up this deep dive, what are the absolute main takeaways?
I'd say plan early, especially for those permits. They are the golden ticket and they sell out.
Right, number one.
Number two, choose your season. But know that you can go anytime. Just be prepared. And number three, get reasonably fit. Be ready for a physical challenge.
Okay. Permits, season, fitness, and underlying all of that.
Responsible tourism. Making conscious choices. Who you book with, how you act there. It all matters.
It really sounds like your visit can be a genuinely positive force.
It absolutely can be. By being a thoughtful tourist, you're directly helping to protect these incredible animals in their home.
Yeah.
So yeah, start planning. Maybe look at trusted operators via portals like DPTAs and get ready for something amazing.
Just picturing it, standing quietly, watching a family of mountain gorillas, maybe a silverback, looking your way. It must be one of those moments that just stays with you.
Oh, it does. It really does.
Makes you think, doesn't it? About, you know, our place in the world and how vital it is to protect these wonders. What mark will that encounter leave on you?